Let's go live to Radio Row at the Sunshine Summit with the American Adversaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey.
All right, welcome to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, and we are coming to you live tonight from the Sunshine GOP Summit. That's right, folks. We're down here at the Rosen Shingle Creek, and it's a great event they got going on down here this afternoon. Well, it's been going on all day long. Donald Trump will be speaking momentarily. Ben Carson will be following him up. And we've had, Marco Rubio spoke. Jeb Bush has spoken today. Ted Cruz has spoken. Lindsey Graham has spoken. And we'll get into all of that here in just a few moments. Once again, thanks for listening. You got us, and we are live. And you can still be a part of the show. We'll take phone calls at 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart, and at the table, and we are right here, center row, center of Radio Row. We got the prime radio spot. And joining me right now is Aubrey Kahn. And, of course, Aubrey Kahn is a great sponsor of my show. He sits in, and he's also got his own show, Talk to the Experts.
That's right. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, that's Aubrey Kahn's voice, that's for sure. Pete Paquette is engineering the show for us tonight. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. So sit back and enjoy, and we're going to fill you in on everything that's going on out here. But there is some breaking news. Some of you might have heard during the news break there's been what clearly appears to be a coordinated terrorist attacks, that's plural, in Paris tonight and in the surrounding areas. We've got sketchy details, but we do have a few details, and Aubrey's going to kind of fill us in a little bit here.
All right. Well, a official for François Hollande, the president of France, had a meeting with top security officials in the Interior Ministry because there's been two explosions, one a grenade near the football stadium.
Where President Hollande was at. Yes, right. He was not injured. He was whisked away by security. He's in a safe location now, meeting with his top security officials.
And also there's been two shootings and a possible hostage taking.
And so far we know there are, 11 dead so far?
11 dead and many injured, yes.
And these reports are just coming in. This is a breaking story. Once again, this is going on in Paris.
Now up to 15 dead.
Coordinated terrorist attacks, shootings at a restaurant and several locations in Paris, also bombings at a bar near a stadium where President Hollande was speaking. Once again, there are 15 dead, but not President Hollande. He's in a safe spot right now. But once again, this is just the ongoing story that we've gotten so too used to hearing on the news. And so hopefully we can elect a president who can begin to reverse the trend. And of course, that's what we're all about out here at the GOP Summit. It's a nice crowd out here. I'd say it's a sold out event, and there's over 2,000 people here, probably around 2,500. And it's a very secure place. The Secret Service and the local police are all out here in force. So we're probably in about the safest part of town right now here tonight, folks. As I said, the speakers are speaking now. I believe the lieutenant governor is speaking at this moment. And when he wraps up here shortly, as I said, Donald Trump will start speaking. Not all of the candidates have made themselves available for questioning, but some of them have. Marco Rubio did attend a press conference this morning that we were at, and I'll tell you about that here shortly. And Donald Trump and Ben Carson are going to be holding press conferences. However, Ted Cruz did not. He left so that he could go to a rally on the other side of town. And of if some of you people are leaving that rally now, give us a call and tell us how it turned out over there. I do know this, that as far as the speakers that I've seen so far, which was Rubio, Cruz, and Jeb, and Lindsey Graham, Cruz was by far and away the most well-received and the most invigorating speaker of all of them. Jeb didn't do too bad for himself. He obviously had many people in the crowd who are partisan partial to him. As Rubio has, I've seen a lot of people walking around with various paraphernalia indicating they are Rubio fans. But I'll have to tell you this, folks. Now, he spoke this morning, and it is sort of Rubio's style, but it was very what I characterized as a low-key speech. It was not a high-energy speech. As a matter of fact, in a darkened room there, I can imagine that if he went on too long, he might have put a few people to sleep. The words were all there, but just there wasn't very high energy from Marco Rubio. And I'll say this also: he spoke with the help of a teleprompter. Jeb Bush spoke without a teleprompter. Lindsey Graham spoke without a teleprompter. Ted Cruz spoke without a teleprompter. I predict that both Donald Trump and Ben Carson will also speak without teleprompters. As far as the speeches go, it's pretty much standard stump speech stuff. They're obviously talking to a Republican crowd, and they're trying to get this is primary season, and they're trying to get commitments from these folks to vote for them in the primary. Each candidate has a booth here, and so they're obviously looking to recruit volunteers. A little surprised to see that Donald Trump was not selling anything. His people weren't selling anything at his booth, but Marco Rubio is. Marco Rubio's got just about everything you'd want, every piece of apparel, and for sale over there. But everyone seems to be enjoying the event, seems to be getting some things out of it. And I've heard people saying about the various candidates that they are impressed with what they are seeing. We also have other members of the American Adversaries radio team on the ground here, and they are in the hall now. And, of course, that would be our man, General Lucas Paris. And he doesn't have the periscope with him, but he does have his camera, so he's getting lots of pictures for us. Also, Kathy Santomassino, Rachel Cohen, and Rachel's friend Cindy Grace are on the ground. They are in the main hall right now, and Rachel has made up a couple of signs that they are going to display. One says, "This Jew is for the GOP crew," which has gotten a lot of thumbs up and compliments as people walked by and saw it. She also has another one that says, "Trump loves legal immigrants. After all, he married one." And so they're going to display those signs when Donald Trump speaks here momentarily. As I said, Ted Cruz got the best response by far. As a matter of fact, we went across the hall into the media room, and you could hear the crowd chanting, "We want Ted, we want Ted." And it went on for quite a few minutes. Some of the candidates are meeting with their supporters in VIP receptions. Jeb Bush just is completing a VIP reception right now. Once again, it's a great event, and people are able to get a good feel for the candidates, get up and close and personal with some of the candidates. And people have been coming. They've come here from all over Florida. As I was standing in the security line, I was talking with a couple of women. One was from Polk County, and the other was from the Panhandle area. And we've met people here from South Florida. Of course, there's media here from all over the place. And as I said, we're right here in the middle of Radio Row. That's right, folks. And I want to thank, of course, Salem Media Group for making all of this possible for us. And we've been able to meet up with some of our other Salem colleagues from around the state. So, as I said, we're going to bring you the action live as we are witnessing it here. As you know, on Thursday's show, yesterday's show, we had a contest where you folks could call in and give us some questions to ask the candidates. And I have them here in front of us. And, in fact, when I was in the press conference with Marco Rubio, I was able to at least shout out a question.
Wait till you hear the response.
Yeah, so let's just say everybody in the room knew who I was after, or at least knew what I, anyway. What the way the hall is configured, the of course the media is in the back of the hall where all the television cameras are here, and all the media are out in force here. Everyone's here. I saw campaign Carl Cameron from Fox News. He's here, and of course all the local TV are here as well. So Rubio gave his speech, then he goes off the stage, and we ducked out the door and went across the hall. I just heard a cheer coming from the room. Maybe that's perhaps Trump going up. Anyway, we'll find out. As I said, we have eyes and ears on the ground in the room right now. Rubio then came into the press conference room, and we had snuck in there. Well, not snuck in, because we have press passes. We went in there, and we were in the second row, and he came in. The room was full. And most of the questions went to the national media organizations, and most of the questions had to do with immigration, the immigration issue. And by the way, there was a front page article, and not coincidentally, in the New York Times today saying that the immigration issue will be the litmus test for the Republican candidates this year. So he fielded a number of questions on the immigration issue. That was pretty much the focus of the press conference. He got them from also there were several Telemundo was there, and several of the other Hispanic media outlets, and they asked questions in Spanish. He answered them in Spanish and then translated for the rest of us who don't speak that language exactly what was said. I had my hand up, and I was saying, Martin, Senator Rubio, and you know the routine. You've seen press conferences on TV. Well, it wrapped up, and they hadn't chosen me, so he turned to walk out. And he turned to his right, and we were sitting right there in front of him. And there's Kathy Gibson. Hey, Kathy. And as he was walking out of the room, I asked one of our winning questions from last night, which was if the FBI report says that Hillary should be indicted and this Justice Department won't do it, would you do it? So I stood up and shouted out the question. If this Justice Department won't indict Hillary Clinton, would you do it? And what was at that time a sort of rambunctious media room, it went totally silent. I suppose as everyone wanted to see if he was going to answer that question or not, he continued to walk out. And when he went behind the curtain, I then shouted out, "You know she's broken laws, right?" And something to that effect. So I had a couple of media members come up to me and say, "Great voice you got there." So we didn't get an answer. Well, actually, perhaps we did get an answer by no answer, right? But the question was posed, should I get the opportunity to pose it to Donald Trump or Ben Carson? I'll try to do that, too. Plus, I have the whole list of questions. But we will be having guests on the show on and off. Larry Walters is here. He's with the Fair Tax Group. I want to get his thoughts on the fair tax. There is one candidate, at least, who's clearly for the fair tax, and that would be Mike Huckabee. He'll be here tomorrow. We also have Jennifer Sullivan. She'll be visiting with us tomorrow. Those will be taped interviews if we do it tomorrow, and we'll play that during Sunday night and during the week. We also have former United States Senator Wayne Allard, and he'll be stopping by for a few moments to talk about a favorite issue of his. He served in the Senate when Ronald Reagan was president, and he and Phil Graham were known as being the two most conservative members of the Senate at that time. We also have seen Scott Plakin. He's going to try to stop by and talk with us for a while. So we've got a full slate of things to go. But in the meantime, as I said, you are welcome to call us. Now, we're going to go with limited commercial breaks tonight. We're going to go straight through to the half-hour break, so we will not have the midstream break, if you will. We're going to have breaks at 5:30, 6, and 6:30. So, once again, we are fielding calls if you would like to give us a call. Just a couple of things, not summit-related here. Tomorrow night is the Democratic debate in Des Moines, Iowa. And they had a little, what would you call it, a debate warm-up, more or less?
A powwow.
the debate participants had a powwow with
the moderators.
The debate. Now, how about that? You know, what a way to run a debate. Yeah, let's sit down with the moderators ahead of time so we can kind of coordinate the action here, right?
Yeah, the moderator, by the way, is John Dickerson.
He's the new host of the the Nation show on Sunday mornings.
Right, and his team met with each of the campaigns for more than an hour to discuss major issues at play in the race. So that they know what to ask.
So that they know what to ask, and more importantly, so that they know what to answer. That's right. So, hey, you know, if that's what they got to do, then that's what they got to do. Hillary Clinton was not a real big focus of the speeches that I've heard so far tonight. As I said, they're more or less, well, pretty much their stump speeches. That's exactly what Jeb gave, was a stump speech. Certainly Marco Rubio was a stump speech. The one who did talk extensively about Hillary Clinton, though, was Lindsey Graham. And it was probably his stump speech, but it's mostly about Hillary Clinton and what she did leading up to and the Benghazi terrorist attack itself and how she lied about it afterwards. But Lindsey Graham, his style of speaking will just put you to sleep. And I have to say this, though. I kind of felt sorry for the guy because when he was scheduled to speak, it was about 1 o'clock, and everyone literally got up and left the room to go eat dinner. And that's something I have nightmares about occasionally, where I'm trying to talk and no one's listening. So I'm sure that's the feeling poor Senator Graham had today. But, hey, you know, he went ahead and gave his speech to a room that was about one-tenth full. And the people who did stick around to hear him did appreciate his speech. But it's obviously he has a purpose in this campaign, and I don't think that purpose is to win the nomination as much as it is to get foreign policy issues and his foreign policy views out into the debate arena, if you will.
We have a...
You're going to have to move up closer to the mic.
We have an update on Paris.
Okay, what is that?
Apparently there's 100 hostages taken. And that was at the cafe and theater, which is just a few hundred yards from Charlie Hebdo. And they're now saying there's also 35 dead.
35 dead, 100 hostages in Paris. Terrorist attacks, coordinated attacks across Paris this evening.
Gunmen were shouting two words. Can you guess what they were?
Golly gee?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Probably Allah Akbar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so once again, unfortunately, I believe Europe is going to, this is just the beginning of their troubles over there. And as a matter of fact, the Europeans are beginning to, there's a backlash growing in the European countries that have been accepting a lot of these immigrants over there from the situation in North Africa and Syria and the Middle East.
The German population is up in arms about it.
And they should be, and I guess they're going to be up in arms even more after tonight.
Right.
Because this is, obviously, if they can do this in Paris, they can do it pretty much anywhere in Europe, and probably will happen pretty much everywhere in Europe. So we'll keep an eye on that story as the show goes on tonight, and if we get any more updates, we'll certainly let you know. But once again, this is breaking right now. 100 hostages in Paris in a restaurant have been taken by Islamic terrorists. Also, there was bombs and grenades set off in close to a stadium where President Hollande was participating in an event. He was not injured. He was whisked away. He is safe. But this is a part of the problem that we have to deal with here. And I will say this about Lindsey Graham, that this pretty much was the focus of his attention when he gave his speech, is the threat that we are facing with Islamic terrorism. And he made no bones about it, that the problem is Islam itself, and to steal the title, to use the title, if you would, from Glenn Beck's book, that this strain, if you want to call it that, of Islam really gets its power from the Quran and the Islamic writings. And it's a problem we're going to have to deal with face to face and not be politically correct about it. So it will be interesting to see how the French respond to this. I predict that they will respond forcefully, but now they have a very touchy situation over there with 100 hostages.
Yep, and I'm sure that their SWAT teams will be surrounding that theater. The whole area is cordoned off and people evacuated. They'll take them out.
Yep, special ops, definitely. Once again, we are coming to you live from the Sunshine GOP Summit down here at the Harris Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel. It's a beautiful hotel, and the folks here have been very helpful to us, and I want to compliment the Sunshine volunteers because they have also been very helpful. They make sure everyone knows just where to go and just how to do things, and no one seems to be walking around lost. So, and it's a big hotel, and it would be very easy to do that. And once again, if you would like to give us a call at 407-774-8255, we will be taking phone calls tonight. And I just want to say bon voyage to the American adversaries who are all leaving as we speak from Port Canaveral on my cruise. And they're going on it without me. They didn't hold that boat up.
Oh, me.
Yeah, but we're going to be putting together another one. And we spoke with everyone on the cruise, and they're all tickled to death that they're on the cruise and happy that the American adversaries are here, because really this is where we belong, and we're only too happy to be here and be your eyes and ears for you tonight and your voices, so to speak. And once again, I want to thank you so ever much for your support. And we, as I said, we're going with limited commercial breaks tonight so that we can bring you as much action as possible. And so don't forget, though, it is Friday night, and for the best in high school football, you got it coming on. When our show finishes up at 7, just zip on up the dial to one of our sister stations. That's 1520 WBZW. Roger Franklin Williams and Joe Ferrero are going to be calling the first of the playoff games, hopefully just the first, that the Blue Darters will be participating in this season as they take on Timber Creek. It's an away game for the Blue Darters, but once again, we want to wish the Blue Darters all the luck in the world. Okay, got a couple of minutes left in this segment of the show. We have Eva on the line, so let's go to Eva. We'll take her call right now. Eva, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Yes, I watched the Lieutenant Governor this morning make a speech, and I was impressed. Is it true that he's running for a senator?
Indeed it is. As a matter of fact, I have a man who is working with his campaign right here, just came up and sat down, Ken Dwyer, who's been on our show before.
He is fabulous.
We just got a call from a listener. Eva, just put on those headphones and you can talk into that mic right there. Eva asked, she wanted confirmation that Carlos Lopez Cantera is running for the U.S. Senate seat that Marco Rubio is vacating.
Yes, he is.
You have to get closer to the mic, please.
Sorry.
There you go.
Yes, he is.
Well, how come y'all have kept that man under lock and key? Chris will tell you, I'm very informed, and I try to keep on top of things. That's the first time I ever heard him speak.
Ah, that's interesting.
He's the new generation. Okay. He's very smart and articulate, and he needs more out in the open. Y'all have kept him under a lock and key.
Ask and ye shall receive. Pete just whispered in my ear that Carlos is going to come over and be on the show.
He'll be able to come over and spend a couple minutes with us here in a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be able to spend a few minutes with us here in a few moments.
That's terrific.
So you will be able to share that with our audience. You were very impressed. You saw him speak this morning, you said.
Yes,
sure,
but more importantly, I met him 6 months ago.
And you were impressed with him as well.
Yes, and he was the first time that the lieutenant governor actually came to one of our all-business outreach programs. Unfortunately, he got couldn't make it because of an airplane problem.
Okay, but he is here today. He just finished speaking in front of the crowd. As a matter of fact, I just got from Kathy, our eyes and ears in the room right now. Trump is on stage right now speaking. And Carlos will be over to our table here shortly, and we'll have him on the air. In the meantime, we have to take one of the breaks. We will be taking tonight. We are up against a hard one. And you can thank you, Eva, for the call and the compliments for the lieutenant governor. And if you folks would like to be a part of the show, you can call us as well at 407-774-8255. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Sunshine GOP Summit. We'll be right back.
We're back live with the American Adversaries at the Sunshine Summit. Let's go out to Radio Row at the Rose in Shingle Creek on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live from the Sunshine GOP Summit at the Harris Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel. And right now I have at the table with me, running for U.S. Senate, of course, for the state of Florida, our Lieutenant Governor, Carlos Lopez Cantera. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for being with us tonight.
It's great to be here. Good afternoon.
You know, just before you came up to the table, before the break, we had a caller who said she saw you on TV this morning and was blown away. What did you say?
I don't know, but I got to make sure I say it again.
She said you looked like you were finally a real Republican. She found you to be refreshing.
Well, thank you. Thank
you. You just spoke here.
Yes.
How did it go?
Well, I think it went great. What I was talking about was the difference between Florida Republicans and Washington Republicans. You know, there's a difference.
Are there any Republicans, real Republicans in Washington?
I don't know, but in Florida there are.
We want to put one up there.
Look at our state. Look at our state. We've been governing by the principles of our party, and we've added jobs. We cut taxes every year. We have billion-dollar surpluses. People are flocking here. It's what our founding fathers intended with the 10th Amendment. The states pursue the policies for the citizens, and the citizens pursue the states that they want to be in. 250,000 people moved to Florida last year.
All right. Now, some people feel that Marco Rubio became senator because he wanted to just use that more or less as a stepping stone. I'm not making any judgments myself. What about you? Do you want to be a United States senator? What would you like to accomplish in the Senate?
What I would like to accomplish is bringing some of the values and the accomplishments that we've been able to achieve here in Florida to Washington, D.C. We need to simplify our tax structure that right now incentivizes companies to leave this country and take jobs elsewhere. And then we have a regulatory structure that is crippling the companies that are still here. And it's, you know, big businesses, they can deal with this stuff. They can navigate it.
Right.
It's the small businesses.
Right.
And I spend my days talking to small businessmen and women, and they're the ones who are trying to play by the rules, but there's so many rules they can't keep up with them. And it's just gotten out of control. It was not what this country was intended to do, and enough is enough.
Now, I know you're touting yourself as a pro-business candidate. Had you been a businessman yourself?
Yes, I have. In real estate and real estate development, I've been in the other side of the equation from government. I've faced bureaucrats who've arbitrarily abused their power and made it more difficult to get a project accomplished. So I've lived that pain myself. And that's what has driven me in my career in public service. I don't have a lot of sympathy for bureaucrats. I've always erred on the side of the taxpayer and the businessmen and women because they're the ones that pay the bills. They're the ones that have to work every week 40, 60, 80 hours a week to earn the money to write the check for the taxes that pays those salaries.
Do you have a website where people can help you out or find out more about you?
Yes, it is carlos4florida.com.
Carlos4Florida.com, the number 4.
And F-O-R. F-O-R.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so used to saying that.
But I get that question a lot. That's why I always say F-O-R.
Okay. All right. So, you do want to be a senator, though, is what I'm getting down to. You want to get up there and actually make a name for yourself, so to speak, in the Senate.
I'm not running to be a senator. I'm running to go to Washington to try and make a difference, to be part of solutions, not part of problems.
I got you.
You see, I've had plenty of titles. This is not about titles. My most important title that I have is dad. I have two girls, and I want to ensure that they are able to grow up in the kind of country that created opportunity for my family when they came here from Cuba in 1960 with not much more than the clothes on their back and the few belongings my grandmother was able to sneak out in her purse. But through hard work, sacrifice, perseverance, and playing by the rules, they were able to build a better life for their children and my children.
Now, when you get to the Senate, obviously, you know, you're going to be a junior senator from the state of Florida. Are there any particular committees that you wanted to, would you have a preference to be on?
Anything that is going to have a lot of say in regulations and taxes.
Okay, so your focus is going to be on business, trying to change the business environment.
And spending and the debt. I mean, no matter what issue you care about, you better care about the spending of the federal government, because we are on track and on a pace to be Greece, to be bankrupt like Greece before my youngest daughter graduates from high school. So every other issue becomes moot. once that happens. When people start showing up to the ATM machine and they're limited to withdrawals of $20 a day or
right.
a week,
right.
what do you think will be happening on the ground then?
Yeah, like it happened in Greece, right?
Which is exactly what happened in Greece. And we are on a path to get there.
Yeah.
It's simple arithmetic.
Right. Listen, I don't want you to play favorites with anybody. Obviously, you know, you're running for Senate, so you don't want to make any problems for yourself. But a lot of people think that Donald Trump is not qualified to be president because he's a businessman. He's a real estate man. You said you're a real estate developer.
Yes.
Is he qualified? Is that or disqualifier? I mean, you know, he's never held elected office, but he's got a lot of executive experience.
You know, that's for the voters to decide. I don't like getting into the business of criticizing Republicans. You know, it's our job to criticize Democrats because they're the ones that are ruining this country.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. And now, once again, it's Carlos for
Florida.
For Florida. CarlosForFlorida.com.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to be crisscrossing the state, campaigning? And
have been.
You
have been.
Been.
Oh, yeah. We've put over 20,000 miles on the Chevy Tahoe.
Is that right?
In the last couple of months. It's a big state.
All right. Well, listen,
it's a beautiful state.
I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us, and I look forward to interviewing you some more as the election day itself approaches.
I'd like that.
Okay?
Thank you. Thank you to you and your audience.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Thank you so much. Once again, that is Carlos Lopez Cantera. CarlosForFlorida.com is where you can help him out. Okay, we also have a caller on the line. If you would like to be a part of the show, you can call us at 407-774-8255. Let's take Craig's phone call right now. Craig, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. By the way, Donald Trump is still speaking, to my understanding.
Yeah, hey, great coverage. I don't know if anybody else could have done the coverage that you guys are doing. Two little things in Europe real quick is, one, ISIS has a campaign where they said blood is going to run in the streets of Russia. And then Syria said that they're going to sink that aircraft carrier from France that is blowing up their oil infrastructure. And two more quick things is there's a 24-hour race at Daytona for the cars from the 70s, 80s, and 90s going
right.
on this weekend.
Right.
And then anyone who supports the fair tax, who understands the fair tax, supports the fair tax. That's a pretty good slogan, I think.
All right. Well, as a matter of fact, we're going to have Larry Walters sit in for a few minutes after the top of the hour, and he's a local guy who's been really a big
yeah.
promoter of fair tax
know,
for a
Larry.
Long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you understand it, you support it. It's that simple.
Yeah, and it is a simple tax. Far more simpler than what we have now with the tax code of, 70,000 pages or something like that. Hey, listen, Craig, I appreciate you calling. Thank you for the update on the situation in Europe, and we appreciate that so much. Once again, also, folks, you can be a part of the show, 407-774-8255. Donald Trump is, to my understanding, still on stage, and when he finishes speaking, he'll be ducking over to the press conference room, and we're going to have eyes and ears in there as well. If he does it during the break, I'm going to run around there and see if I can get in on it. But once again, we're here. We're live. We're at the GOP Sunshine Summit, and we are right dead center of Radio Row. And I'm really proud and privileged to be here. And once again, I want to thank the great folks at Salem Media Group. And I don't know, I can't believe my eyes, but there's some guy sitting across the table from me that looks for every bit like Carl Jackson.
What's going on, guy?
Yeah, how you doing, Carl?
Doing good, doing good.
Now, you just came from the cruise rally across town.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, pretty cool. I got to briefly interview him and got to briefly interview his wife, and he came out with a border plan, very specific, and it's obvious that he's taking on Trump.
Yeah, he's taking on everybody. And,
yeah.
Real quickly, what was the crowd like over there? Big crowd, enthusiastic?
The crowd was enthusiastic. He probably had, I want to say, anywhere from 1,000 to maybe 1,500 people there.
Okay.
So it was a decent-sized crowd, very enthusiastic. And he was just very specific. He came and spoke specifically about illegal immigration and what he was going to do. And he outlined the number one thing that he would do is the wall. But what he did was he just added specificity with every single – it was very detailed. I left the details in my car, unfortunately, because I wanted to read them off to you guys, because I was like, not only obviously he's going to take on every candidate,
But he's doing it in a way where he's not attacking them.
Yeah.
He's kind of taking them on by outdoing them,
yeah,
so to speak.
Exactly right. And the way he laid it out, Chris, I got to, hopefully, on Sunday night, we'll show you the notes. It's unbelievable because he attacked not just illegal immigration, but he explained how he would reform legal immigration. And his plan was, it was like 4 points. It was so simple, but so clear. It was, the guy means business.
Well, I tell you what, you know, he gave the speech here before he went over there.
Okay.
And it was a great speech. It reminded me of when he announced his candidacy because he was kind of wandering the stage.
Sure.
He had no teleprompter, very spirited the way he speaks. The crowd was very much into it.
Sure.
And huge standing ovation when he finished. And then they were chanting, "We want Ted. We want Ted,"
yeah,
over and over again.
Yeah. And they were doing the same. His speech, I would say, was very methodical. I mean, he was making sure that he was so specific on amnesty and illegal immigration that he couldn't be misconstrued in any type of way. And then the interview that I had was very brief because I got to get on stage with the other people of the media. But I asked the first question. And so he directed his answer directly towards me. And I was talking
about...
What'd
you ask him?
Well, I asked him about...
Because Rubio didn't answer my question.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. So I spoke to him. I asked specifically about the EPA and regulatory tyranny and how I was concerned about how they were circumventing the people through regulation and so on, et cetera. So he spoke to that. It was kind of a broad question, but he spoke to that, and he gave answers specifically what he wanted to do to cut back on the EPA, so on, et cetera. And then I'm telling you, the rest of the media, there were probably, I would say, 7 to 8 other people around me. There were CNN was there, Politico was there. Every question, I kid you not, was the same question. At that point, they were all trying to attack him,
yeah,
for one, and then they were trying to pit him against Rubio. They were trying to pit him against Trump. One lady, I believe, from CNN started it off, and then they all, in a circle, asked the same question in a different way.
Right.
And I was like, Chris, we're head and shoulders above the rest of the media.
Well, you know, they kind of gave Rubio the same treatment in his press conference here.
Okay.
Most of the questions were variations of questions on the immigration issue. And one fella did ask him about his record in the Senate and not missing votes and things and things like that. He did address that. And as I told my audience earlier, we were trying to get a question in, but his handlers were choosing.
Yeah.
And the national media got first shots. But
sure.
They did choose some of the South Florida local media.
Okay.
Addressing the Telemundo and all. But then when he turned to walk off the stage, I just stood up and I said, "Would you indict Hillary Clinton if this Justice Department doesn't?"
Really?
And I yelled it loud, and the whole room heard me. And he didn't say anything. He just walked around the corner.
Did he smile?
Said,
he didn't
She's
turn?
Obviously broken laws. There, I thought I detected a little bit of a crease of a grin.
Okay, okay.
And he kind of took his coat, you know, and kind of pulled it a little bit.
Okay.
And,
good.
He obviously hurt. There was everyone in the room heard me.
Good.
And, you know, in the media room like that, they're all going, "Senator, Senator, Senator." When I yelled that out, dead silence.
Wow.
Well, I guess they wanted to hear his answer.
Good.
And maybe we got an answer, maybe we didn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, but Trump has said he would go after, if there's criminal charges, he'll go after them. Yeah, you know, so
they should. These people shouldn't be above the law. They're not.
And by
the
way,
law.
He just finished speaking, so he's going to be heading over to do his press conference here in a few moments. So when we go to the break, I'm going to run over there and see if he's in the press conference room, and then run back and give you guys an update. And,
all right,
Carl, you might want to go down there and maybe
absolutely
get a question in. And but I'm sure that he's going to be swamped with questions as well. But we'll get a report from our eyes and ears in the room. As I said, we have Kathy Santomassino, Rachel Cohen, Cindy Grace, and my brother, Roger, are all in the room, and they're going to give us an update here shortly on Trump's speech. And by the way, now that he is finished, in a few moments, Ben Carson will speak. And when Ben is finished speaking, then he is also going to give a press conference in the same room where they're all giving the pressers. So we're going to be here, and we're going to be following up with all this, and we're going to be letting you know what we see here and feel from this whole thing. But once again, everyone here seems to be
getting something out of this, either confirmation that their guy is the guy that they really, really want, or perhaps with open minds, they're looking and they're hearing some things from the other candidates. I was a bit surprised, though, that I thought Jeb Bush gave a better speech than Marco Rubio.
Really?
And it wasn't necessarily, it was all style.
Okay. I mean,
because Jeb was actually, he didn't use a teleprompter. He sort of wandered the stage like Ted Cruz. He still looks kind of, you know,
stiff.
Yeah, well, not just kind of weak.
He just
sort of that was the word that kept coming to me. Just his body language and things, and the way he stands and presents himself. Marco Rubio stood at the podium, read from a teleprompter, and he has a tendency to get quieter and quieter and quieter when he speaks. And at some points, I could almost not hear what he was saying.
Really,
we were in the back of the room where the press was, but it was, you know. It was in the morning. Maybe he just wasn't fired. I hadn't had enough coffee yet, but it was very low energy speech.
Wow, I'm surprised to hear that.
I was too, and the crowd responded likewise. It was lukewarm response from the crowd. Did not get a standing ovation. Did not get "We want Marco, we want Marco" when it was over. Like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz blew him away. There's no question about it. Now we'll have to get the report on Trump. But Ted Cruz blew him away.
I saw some pictures when we were walking in. A gentleman that I report with, or an analyst on Fox 35, he showed me some pictures of Trump and just the rally, a pre-rally rally they had for him as soon as he walked in the door.
Yeah.
So he was having some major applause just upon entering.
I want to talk a little bit about the speech he gave last night in Iowa. Did you catch any of that?
I did not.
He took in after Carson, but also...
I have heard clips of that.
Also, he addressed the issue, and we had a caller the other day saying, you know, why let Russia take care of ISIS? And so he says, you know, I talked about this with my wife, and I didn't want to say what I would do to ISIS, but now they're going to make me. I'm going to have to say, you know, I didn't want to say because I didn't want the enemy to know what I was going to do them. So now I'm going to have to tell you, I'm going to bomb the shucks out of ISIS. Only he didn't say shucks. He used the other word.
Did he really?
He did. Yes, he did. And
well, from what I understand, it's pretty easy to do. I was listening to someone this morning, and they were talking about the Peshmerga that want to fight against ISIS and would love some of our help, and you could literally see ISIS, then the weaponry being supplied to ISIS, their routes are wide open, they're on heavy traffic, if you will, for that part of the world area, so they can be bombed easily. We just don't have the will to do it.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because I see, I don't know, I'd say a fairly sizable handful of people actually leaving the room, and I would have thought that everyone would have stuck around for Ben Carson, who will be speaking momentarily. By the way, we have a caller on the line. You can call us, too, at 407-774-8255. Let's take the caller right now. And caller, I'm sorry, what was your name?
This is Al.
Hey, Al. Hey, Al. We've been missing you. How you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, I don't believe I didn't win the contest with my question. I mean... What's going on?
Your question from... Well, if I get a chance to ask him, I'll ask him. I can't promise anything because obviously in a press conference, you get one question at the most. But as soon as we take the break here, I'm literally going to run around to the press conference room and see if he's in there. If I get a chance, I'll shout it out, all right?
All right, you got it.
Thank you. Thank you, Al. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for listening to the show and participating with your question last night. All right, thank you. Yep. Appreciate you calling. And once again, we're here. We're live at the GOP Sunshine Summit, or the Sunshine GOP Summit, or however they say it. But we're here. I'd say it's absolutely a success. It's a sold-out show, so to speak, about 2,500 people here. And now we have Scott. That's our My Liberty Thread, Scott Miller, on the line.
I saw Scott earlier. Scott, what's going on, man?
Hey, Scott, were you at the rally, the Cruz rally today?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. They put on a great rally over there at the church.
Cool. So how are things at My Liberty Threads?
Going good. I got in a little too late on the Sunshine Summit, but I was able to do a little bit of stealth mode selling this afternoon at Ted Cruz's speech, so it went pretty good.
That's good. Have you done any more of your informal polling lately?
You know, actually haven't. I've been doing mostly Florida now that we're in season here. So I figured I'd let the rest of the debates shake out, let the snowbirds come down, and then we'll start polling again probably after the holidays.
Okay. You're going to be at the Pizza Eating Challenge Monday, aren't you?
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it for the world. In fact, I'm hoping Carl's going to be able to make it out there, too.
Yeah, Carl, you coming to the pizza eating challenge?
Is it this Monday?
Monday, yeah.
I tell you what, I want to. I do have family in town, so I'm kind of at their whim, but I do want to come out. So I will try to get them out there.
I'm glad to see you got Mickey Alvarez with you.
Yeah, I don't know why he's chilling 50 feet away.
Hey, well, I'm sorry, Scott. What'd you say?
I was just going to tell Carl, if you got a chance to bring them, it is so entertaining. My son came with me, and he can't wait to come back for Monday nights for the next one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. We got more contestants than last time, too. It's going to be a blast.
Just listening to the lead-up, it sounds very entertaining. Between Chris and Mike McBath,
there goes former Congressman Bill McCollum. Hey, Bill McCollum! he's walked by. Anyway, we're out here. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. We'll be talking to you on Monday. And
absolutely.
Once again, all right, that's Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads, a co-sponsor of our show. You can go to MyLibertyThreads.com. Great threads he's got. American made, America proud, MyLibertyThreads.com. I must say, I'm a little surprised at the number of people that appear to be leaving.
I got to tell you, when we were coming in, and I was assuming, I wasn't sure, but I was like, I think Trump is getting ready to speak. And there were a lot of people already leaving. I was, but they all looked like press people.
Yeah, but it was a full room in there for Trump.
I'm shocked that anyone will leave.
Yeah, but it appears that some people are leaving now before Ben Carson speaks. Oh. And I may be mistaken.
Maybe they're getting coffee.
But Ben's scheduled to speak here in just a few minutes. Once again, we're going with limited breaks tonight, folks. But we do have a hard break coming up here in just a couple of moments. As soon as we take that break, I'm literally going to jump over the table and run around this hotel to see if Trump's in his... That's right. So to see if Trump's in his presser. And I'm going to take Carl with me, and I'll leave him over there. Maybe he can get a question in and then come back and give us a report. Here comes our team. Hey, guys.
I want to meet your brother.
How come you didn't go to the press conference room? She knows where it is. Take him on back. We were in there for Marco Rubio. That's where we were for the Marco Rubio press conference. Anyway, we're gonna all head over there here in just a couple of minutes. We'll be here live until 7 o'clock tonight. I'll be back out here all day tomorrow along with the great Salem folks, and we're going to be here to record some interviews. We got an interview set up for tomorrow with Jennifer Sullivan.
All right.
And we'll be talking with her about her impressions of this event. And, of course, we have the Florida legislative session getting ready to open up here after the first of the year. And she's going to be a big name in Florida politics for some time.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but once again, we'll be here until 7 o'clock, and we'll be live, of course, and we'll take your phone calls at 407-774-8255. Once again, this is a great event going on out here, and we feel very privileged to be here. And as we get started with the second hour of the show, we're going to be joined by former U.S. Senator Wayne Allard, and he's going to talk to us about the ethanol subsidies or ethanol in your fuel, and to basically do away with the ethanol subsidy.
Love to hear about that.
So, and we got the corn guy here too. So we're going to get some pictures on that. But we're coming up right now on the break. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, coming to you live from the GOP Summit down here at the Rosen Shingle Creek. And once again, we are on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And we're coming right back. I'm going to see if Trump's talking. We'll be back.
Let's go live to Radio Row at the Sunshine Summit with the American Adversaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey.
Hi, welcome back to the show, folks. I literally just sat down. I came back from the press conference room where Donald Trump did not do a press conference. Everyone was gathered for the press conference only to receive the announcement that he would not be doing it tonight. So I don't know what the situation is, but he did give his speech, and we'll get some reports on that here momentarily. Pardon me if I sound a little bit out of breath. I literally ran from the press conference room back to Radio Row here. Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Got Aubrey Kahn here. Aubrey, can you give us an update on that terrorist activity in France while I catch my breath, please?
Yes, I certainly can. There's over 60 people that have died so far. There's conflicting numbers. Some say 100 hostages, some say as little as 8. But the French SWAT teams have surrounded the building. They are shooting at people on the roof. They claim that at least 6 shootings have taken place in Paris and 3 explosions in the Stade de Paris, where the stadium is. 2 of the gunmen entered the Bataclan Theater, which is just a couple of hundred yards from Charlie Hebdo, and that's where they took the hostages.
And they were chanting what again?
Allahu Akbar.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a very coordinated terrorist attack going on in Paris, France tonight. And, of course, with the hostages, that means it's going to continue for a while. So we'll keep our eyes on it.
Coming to a country near you.
Yeah. In the meantime, we're coming to you live tonight, not from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio, but from the GOP Sunshine Summit at the Rosen Shingle Creek here in South Orlando, a beautiful hotel down here. Very successful event so far, I would say. It was a sold-out event, probably 2,500 people here. All of them here excited about the Republican field. Some have favorites. Some are looking to find a favorite. And I want you to continue to listen to the show as we stay here live tonight. We'll be out here all day tomorrow. We'll be taping some recordings, some interviews that we'll be using. But in the meantime, I have at the table with me now Larry Walters of the Fair Tax. We're going to get to him in just a few moments. But we also have with us tonight former senator, and his name is Wayne Allard. And what state were you the senator of again, Wayne?
I represented the state of Colorado.
Okay, you're going to have to get a little closer to the microphone. Colorado.
I represented the state of Colorado. Thank you.
Okay, and you were in the Senate, what, 3 terms?
I was in the Senate 2 full terms, 12 years in the U.S. Senate, 6 years in the U.S. House, and 8 years in the Colorado State Senate. So I ran as a citizen legislator, and after being in politics for 26 years, I lost my message. It's time for me to get out anyhow.
Well, you kind of term limited yourself out. Yeah. Then I guess in a way.
Yeah.
Well, before I get to the issue that you're now focusing on, let's just get a little history on you. You were there when Ronald Reagan was president, weren't
you? I was, yeah, and even I had an opportunity to visit with him from time to time. A great American.
And you and Phil Graham had a bit of a feud going.
Well, Phil Graham and I, yeah, we were friends. We enjoyed each other. And
the feud was over who was the most conservative Republican in the U.S. Senate.
You got that right.
And it was one of the two of you all the time.
Yeah, I went up to him one day. I says, you know, Phil, I'm more conservative than you are now. I'm really upset. He says, who did that? Who did that anyhow? And so I said, and he says, well, I said, it's a part of the public record there. You just go look it up. But he was all upset that he got outvoted on that. But I was a little better on trade than he was.
All right. Another question or two before we get to your issue right now. First of all, you're a U.S. senator. You've been in politics a long time. What do you think about the field we have and this event in particular?
You know, I think the Republican Party has the best group of individuals seeking the presidency we've seen in some time. And they're really doing a great job out there today. And people are making up their minds. And they got a lot to look at and a lot to think about when these presentations are given. But I think we have a great group of Republicans. I'm talking about the top tier.
Now, your issue that you're focusing on right now is, if you will, a form of corporate welfare, sort of, isn't it?
Well, I'm with the American Motorcyclists Association, and we're very...
Did you ride up on a Harley?
No, we didn't.
What is... Okay, the American Motorcyclists Association.
But we're with the American Motorcyclists Association, and we're concerned about government policies that increase the amount of ethanol in gasoline. And it not only affects us, but affects a lot of other small engine operators and also the marine engines. And so we're here to talk to the presidential candidates and to talk to the senators that represent the state of Florida and express our concerns about increasing the renewable fuel standard, which basically is going to cause more ethanol in the gas tank.
All right. Well, I see you have a walk-in, talk-in Corn on the Cob standing behind you here says, food, not fuel. How is this message going over with the candidates?
Well, we're getting a mixed message. We have, most of them have been in Iowa campaigning, and so they get lobbied very hard with the ethanol subsidy. But when they go to the rest of the country, they're beginning to realize that the whole country does not support that.
All right.
And our polls have shown that. And so we're finding a very popular response is that, well, we understand that, but we want to phase it out gradually. And there is a bill that's been introduced in the House that does some reform. And we're hoping that at least we can get some support from the congressional candidates as well as the candidates for president.
Now, Senator Allard, I see you've brought another representative with you. Could you introduce us? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to get some. We're going to have to get his microphone up and
somebody
running.
Somebody I just met here.
All right. Well, we're going to get his microphone up and running while we get going here. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we come to you live from the GOP Sunshine Summit as the sun is setting outside.
Okay, very good.
All right, Senator Allard.
All right. Well, this is David Kennedy with Vote U.S. and a very effective organization. He's doing a great job. He's on the same side of the issue as the motorcycle.
I take it that you're a big...
I am, and it's really a... appreciate a chance to be here and talk on behalf. We have 100,000 members here in Florida. Boating's a huge industry. And we're here as part of a broader coalition, the Smarter Fuels Future, that is really here to talk about this issue with the candidates, with the congressional members, because for us, we really need to make sure we've got safe fuel that works in our boats.
And we don't need to be burning our food, like the corn cob guy here says, right?
Absolutely. That's some of the other folks. It's an amazing coalition. It's one that I've never been involved in anything like it. Just everybody agrees that this is a policy that needs to be fixed, and that's what we're asking folks here to do.
And some of you folks may not know, but ethanol fuel, you cannot burn it in a boat motor. You'll ruin that motor.
That's correct. There, it is, in fact, illegal to use any fuel that greater than 10% in a marine engine. And we've actually done some informal polling on our members. Given a choice, 90% of them prefer to have what we call easier or fuel without any ethanol, but only about 50% of them are able to find it.
And it's very expensive when you do find it.
It is. People go out of their way to make sure that they've got safe fuel for their boats and for their families.
And part of the problem with ethanol is it doesn't do anything to help the environment. It's a boondoggle. I mean, and we're burning the stuff we should be eating. And you see these commercials on TV, people starving all over the world, and we're putting our food in our gas tanks. It is absolute insanity. Now, Senator Allard, of the Republican candidates, is there any one or number of them who have said that they would end these subsidies? I know I've heard at least one say that.
Yeah, we have at least a couple of them, I think, that have said that they would like to eliminate those subsidies. We're going through an educational process.
Are you working
Senator
with the
Cruz,
campaigns?
Senator yeah. Cruz has yeah. taken a very strong stand.
He, matter of fact, said it the other night in Iowa.
That. Yeah. 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 And he shows a lot of courage.
Indeed.
You go up into Iowa, but he knows overall of how the country feels and the negative aspects that the rest of the country is feeling. And so he's picked up on that, but I don't think he looks at polls, frankly. I think Senator Cruz, when he believes in things, he wants less government. This is one of those issues where he supports less government and doesn't think that the government ought to be interfering with the marketing of ethanol.
All right. And certainly with a new administration, it'll present a new opportunity for you guys. What do you think your chances are, David?
I mean, I think that's one of the real challenges we have out there is continuing to carry this message. One of the hardest things to do in politics is change a law that's already in place, and that's what we're trying to do. And so working with folks like American Motorcycle Association, and it's an amazing coalition that's put together by Smarter Fuels Future, we really hope to change this policy so that they're not forcing this ever-increasing amounts of ethanol into the fuel supply.
I'd like to talk a little bit about our coalition. It's the American Motorcyclists, the boats, U.S. boat. It's nutritional organizations, it's environmental organizations, because with the high cost of corn and everything, there's areas that have been broken out that has an impact on the environment, the carbon issue. People have raised a lot of questions. You brought that up.
Right.
And it's the nutritionists, those that are concerned about feeding the poor people, the livestock people, cattle, chickens, hog growers.
Yeah. It just seems to me that you can't do without food.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, worst comes worst. We can do without gasoline, but you can't do without food.
Yeah.
And we have a scientist who's a regular on our show. He's a solar scientist who is predicting, as a number of other scientists are, that we're going to actually enter into an extended cold period in which our agriculture industry is going to be very negatively impacted. And so we need to begin to think about this. That we need, corn can be stockpiled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, We're setting ourselves up for some bad times ahead because we think we're doing something good, and really it's just for the feel good. It really doesn't do anything good. Am I right?
I think that's the question is, of course, you know, renewable fuels need to be part of what we do. We all need to find smart ways to fuel what we're doing, to power
what we're
doing.
Is there a better fuel than gasoline? That's the bottom line.
I know. That's the thing. For our boats and for what works in boats now, we know that gasoline is the best choice. And so we want to make sure that that's available in the marketplace and that we don't have these subsidies and these mandates that really force something that doesn't work out there.
Does the coalition have a website? Is there one central location, or can they just go to like the boat association, the motorcycle association, to become a part of this?
You can go to those websites, but the smarter, the Future Fuels Coalition has a website too.
And that is?
Kennedy?
If you go ahead and search on Smarter Fuels Future, they'll be able to get the information. Really sign up to get updates to learn about what this policy means across the areas. I'm here to talk about boats and why it's important to boat owners, but there are folks who've got a whole bunch of different interests in this, and we really need to get to some smart policy on this.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I want to thank you two gentlemen for sitting in on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you, and I look forward to seeing you around the neighborhood
Thank you. You're a great American. It's fun visiting with you.
And I've got your card, Senator, so we'll be in contact. We'll have more interviews on this subject later on.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Real quick, what are your, excited about this year's election? I know you think it's a great field, but are you excited about the Republicans' chances of actually getting to the White House?
I am. And I do think that Hillary Clinton's in trouble. And
With the law or within politics?
Combination both, actually. I do think they're going to have a hard time coming up. And with good candidates, we've got some great candidates there. And they're young, and they have a good vision of prosperity and growth in this country that we haven't heard for a while from the Republican Party.
Well, once again, thank you, gentlemen, for sitting in on the show this afternoon.
Thank you.
God bless you, and we appreciate you being out there. All right, once again, folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, and we are coming to you live from the Florida GOP Summit. That's all right, Senator. You can just lay those down right there. Once again, thank you. And if you guys will hang around another 10 minutes or so during the break, I'd like to get some pictures with the corn guy and all of us here. All right? Or we'll find you. All right, once again. And thank you all. Once again, folks, we are coming to you live from the GOP Summit. Ben Carson, I believe, is speaking right now. I see our General Lucas Paris has returned to base camp here. In the meantime, I want to bring Larry Walters in. Larry has been on the show in the past. It's been a while, so some of you folks may not remember, but Larry Walters is... When it comes to the fair tax, there is nobody who knows more about the fair tax or who is a bigger proponent of the fair tax than Larry Walters. So, Larry, thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, Chris, but you know you're really hurting your credibility by saying those things about me.
Don't worry. It's already in the toilet anyway, so I'm not going to do it. But real quickly, Mike Huckabee, big fair tax guy. He talks about it in the debates. Is he the only one in this field?
He is the only one in this field. There are some oddities in this field also. Ted Cruz, for example, he is a fair tax co-sponsor in the Senate. But for some reason, he chose to offer a flat tax proposal as part of his presidential campaign.
He kind of seems to want to have the best of both worlds. He wants to have the flat tax, and then he says he's going to do away with the IRS. How are you going to do that?
You can't do that. You can't do that. If you're going to have a flat tax, it's a flat tax on income. And he's maintaining the deductions for Social Security and Medicare.
Which means you're going to have to file forms.
You have to file forms. And how long will a flat tax remain flat?
Right. And how long will those be the only deductions, right?
We've got 102 years history with an income tax system. The 1986 Internal Revenue Code has been changed over 14,000 times. What's going to happen with the flat income tax? The idea of the fair tax was to get rid of all forms of income taxation, period. Get rid of it, get rid of the IRS, have it administered by the states instead of by the federal government, and that will get them out of the hair of us individuals. Nobody, business or individual, will need to file a federal income tax return again.
Because it's not an income
tax. Because there is no more an income tax. And
right.
at the same time, because all those business taxes are being abolished, the cost of products that go through our supply chains will be reduced accordingly before the fair tax is added. So the only business that has any connection with the tax system is that business that sells to the final consumer. And that's when they add the 23 cents out of the dollar to every product or service that is new. Used goods are not taxed. So if you're buying a used car, used house, used jet, whatever you would like, there won't be any tax on that particular item.
Yeah, if Trump gets elected, there might be a Boeing 737 or whatever it is on the market there.
Or, yeah, or a nice Gulfstream G4, G5,
yeah,
whatever,
that's
sure
right.
enough.
Now, once again, with the fair tax, because it is a consumption tax, it makes it a lot easier to save money.
It absolutely does. The average person in America today under the income tax is in the 15% tax bracket. That means that they will realize an increase in their take-home dollars, in real dollars, of 29.28%. That's tremendous if you think about taking home almost 30% more dollars every paycheck. And so even
and then it's up to you what you do with
and
it.
And then it is up to you with what you do with it. That's right. You can save it. You can pay off debt, school loans. Whatever the case might be in your particular individual life, that's your option.
Right.
But at least it's your option. It's not the government telling you what you need to do with it.
Right. And think about this in terms of retirement accounts. This will have all the benefits of a Roth IRA, if you will. In other words, whatever you save for retirement, when you take that out, it comes out
tax-free.
How do you like that?
How do you like those apples?
Yeah.
That's right. So the people who have been in saving money into a 401k or an IRA with pre-tax dollars are going to get a windfall because they didn't pay tax on the income when they earned it, and now they're not going to pay tax on the distributions when they take it.
Right. Real quickly, folks, it looks as though the room is emptying, so I presume that Ben Carson has wrapped up his speech. Once again, we have eyes and ears on the ground in the main room, plus in the press conference room. So if he does a press conference, we'll get a report on that. And if we run out of time tonight, we'll, of course, be bringing this up again on Sunday night's show. And, Larry, where can people go to find out more about this? I know you hold webinars and things like that. How can people participate?
Right. Well, if they go to www.fairtax.org, that's where they can get more information for themselves. I would encourage them very strongly to join, become a member. The minimum annual membership is $10 unless you're a student, and then it is only $5, and you can donate as much more as you want. As a member, you'll get our newsletters, of course, and you'll get the updates. We've got two executives going to Washington, D.C. every month, making appointments and lobbying with senators and House representatives, Ways and Means people, just to get them educated on what the fair tax will really do, how it eliminates all of the negatives of an income tax system and implements a system that is fair, that is transparent. There's no double taxation on anything. I mean, just anything that you can think about that is really a negative in the income tax system is abolished.
And by the way, former Governor Huckabee will be here tomorrow at the summit, and he'll be making a speech, and we'll try to get access to him. But in the meantime, Larry, you must feel at least pretty good that a presidential candidate is out there unabashedly promoting the fair taxes, other than Herman Cain, and he kind of went with the 999, so he kind of wasn't really fair tax either at the end of the day.
Yeah, he had some bad advice, and he took it, and he still believes in it, but his conviction isn't as strong as it was when he took the advice 4 years ago.
Right, right.
The fair tax is, without a doubt, the best piece of tax legislation ever submitted to the Congress of the United States. It's the most researched by any stretch of the imagination. And the reason the national sales tax was chosen was through workshops with people like you and I. And the end result was they chose a national sales tax as the best form of revenue collection for the government for two reasons. One, it was the least expensive and the easiest to administer. The second is that it was the least intrusive on our privacy. Those, to me, are two very good reasons, Chris.
pretty doggone good ones. That's absolutely sure. And once again, we're talking with Larry Walters. And what was that website again, Larry? I'm sorry.
www.fairtax.org.
That's all right.
O-R-G.
Fairtax.org. And Larry's been at this. Larry's former Air Force. I want to wish you a happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. And for your service for the country. Your feelings just about the event here?
Well, I'm on the outside being a participant with the vendor table. I've got the Fairtax booth here.
Right.
So I am not seeing anything of what's going on inside.
What
but
about
there's
the
a lot of excitement in
yeah.
the air.
Yeah. And people as they come by your booth.
Well, unfortunately, we're at the far end of the hall, and the traffic down there is not what we would like it to have been.
Right.
But those that have come by have all been very well received, and they've very well received the Fairtax message. So we're making progress. We've signed up a lot of new members, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
And we'll be here again tomorrow to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. Once again, folks, we are live at the GOP Summit at the Rosen Shingle Creek. And, yeah, definitely Ben Carson has finished speaking because the room is emptying out. But as I said, we have eyes and ears on the ground in the press conference room. So whatever transpires in there, we will report it to you either later on tonight's show or we will do it Sunday night on our Sunday show. We will be here live, well, not live, but we will be here all day tomorrow. And we'll be recording some interviews and things like that. So definitely be running into Larry again tomorrow. And don't forget, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. Larry Walters, want to thank you for being with us. God
You're
bless
very
you.
Welcome. Thank
Keep
you.
Keep up the good work, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Okay. And but in the meantime, we will be here. Aubrey Kahn, before we go to the break, can you give us another update on what's happening in Paris, please?
Certainly. The military have been deployed around Paris after the unprecedented attacks. Paris is on shutdown. People have been told to go to their homes, to stay there while they track down the gunmen. The president of France has said that he is prepared to close the borders. And here is something else. Al Gore.
He didn't get a phone call from Trump, did he?
No. But here, listen, Al Gore is in Paris. He was holding a 24-hour webcast from the Eiffel Tower on global warming.
How do you like that?
And so he's stuck in that, too.
poetic justice in that.
ISIS have claimed that they are celebrating that Paris is in flames and that it was done for Syria.
And they've been announcing they were going to do this. They've announced that they're going to attack Rome, and in particular the Vatican. They've announced that they are also going to attack Russia. I believe there are reports that they're going to attack Russia
Yes.
because of Syria. And this is serious business. And as I said, we will keep an eye on this. This is a breaking story. 100 hostages, at least, have been taken, evidently, in Paris as part.
We're back live with the American Adversaries at the Sunshine Summit. Let's go out to Radio Row at the Rosen Shingle Creek on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
I got a good feeling. It's good to see Tom.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live from the Florida GOP, the Florida Republican Party, or Republican Party of Florida, GOP Sunshine Summit. And I want to once again thank you for being with us tonight. And now I've got Aubrey Kahn, and he's going to give us an update of the situation in Paris. I guess the president, our president, has made a statement.
Yes, President Obama.
You have to get close to the microphone there.
President Obama said, "We've seen an outrageous attempt to terrorize innocent civilians. This is an attack not just on Paris. It is an attack not just on the people of France, but it is an attack on all humanity and the universal values we share. We stand prepared and ready to provide whatever assistance the government and the people of France need to respond. France is our oldest ally, and the French people have stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States time and again. We want to be very clear that we stand together with them in the fight against terrorism and extremism. Paris itself represents the timeless values of human progress. Those who think they can terrorize the people of France or the values they stand for are wrong. The American people draw strength from the French people's commitment to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are reminded in this time of tragedy that the hordes of the bonds of liberty, elegante, fraternity are not only values that the French people care so deeply about, but they are values that we share. Those values are going to endure far beyond any act of terrorism or the hateful thinking of those who perpetrated the crimes this evening. We're going to do whatever it takes to work with the French people and with nations around the world to bring these terrorists to justice and to go after any terrorist network that go after our people. This is a heartbreaking situation, and obviously we in the United States know what it's like. We've gone through these kinds of episodes, and whatever these kinds of attacks happen, we've always been able to count on the French people to stand with us. They have been an extraordinary counterterrorism partner, and we tend to be there with them in the same fashion.
Not a bad speech. Why doesn't he give speeches like that, like after the Benghazi terrorist attack, after the Fort Hood terrorist attack?
Because it's not France. Yeah. But have you noticed he never made any mention of Muslim terrorists?
Indeed, indeed. All right, once again, we're keeping an eye on the situation in France. Once again, this is an ongoing situation. There are about 100 hostages over there, a number of dead. And we'll try to keep you updated as we finish out the show tonight as we come to you once again live from the Florida GOP Sunshine Summit. And joining us at the table now is Chris Kassler of Legal Immigrants for America. Chris, thanks. Good to see you here.
Always a pleasure. I'm delighted to be here there tonight. This is a very exciting event. Somebody just told me there are 100,000 people here. I don't know if that's true.
No.
Could have been. You should see the parking lot.
That's right. And the line we had to go through. You didn't have to go through a long security line, but this morning
I came in the back door and got frisked back there.
Oh, did you?
That was interesting. The Secret Service guy was about 7'2". Honest to God, he was enormous. Yeah, really something. Very polite.
Yeah. But it is a great event, and it is a sold-out event. About 2,500 people here for this particular event. And everyone seems to be happy as they're leaving. It is wrapping up for tonight. Once again, we'll be out here all day tomorrow. Former Governor Huckabee will be here. Senator Rand Paul will be here. Governor Chris Christie will be here. I believe Carly Fiorina is going to be here. I'm not sure about that.
I thought she
was going to be here today, yeah. And so we'll be here to see what we can see and hear what we can hear.
Yeah.
Now, you were at the Cruz rally over there where Carl was.
Yes.
What was your impression of it?
I was really impressed. First of all, I thought the crowd's enthusiasm was extraordinary. Now, there's good reason for that. He's Ted Cruz. He's got tremendous charisma. And a lot of people that I talk to say, this is the only guy I'll vote for, which is a little interesting because we have so many to choose from.
Right.
Now, of course, it's a partisan crowd. I mean, people in the room were all Cruz people. Now, the cool thing was that Cruz made the whole speech about immigration, and he had a checklist. He went right down the list of all the things that he will accomplish as president.
That's what Carl said.
I mean, not in this order necessarily, but take care of the anchor baby thing, the pregnancy tourism from the Far East, you know, build the wall, revise the H-1B program so that we actually use it for people that have high and desirable qualifications. All of that, he had it all laid out in detail, which is much more than Donald Trump has done. I appreciate what Trump is doing, but he doesn't get into that kind of, I've heard him. He doesn't go there. He doesn't have a specific plan for dealing with it.
Yeah, and his plan is basically to pick the right people to build the wall, for instance, to pick the right people. He calls it management.
Well,
but now Ted Cruz was very specific. Now, your course with your executive director of Legal Immigrants for America, did he address all of life's concerns?
Yes, he did. I was very impressed. I mean, it's almost like we had given him a set of talking points or questions to answer. But he really hit every base. Now, you know, there's been some question about his position on H-1Bs. You know, which,
real quickly, if you'll explain what that is.
Okay, the H-1B program is a special visa program that allows people from foreign countries to come into the United States to work, and they're supposed to be engaged in this employment because they have qualifications that are uniquely
suited for that. Right.
Well, yeah, like you could have, you know, a great nuclear scientist who is the only one in the world.
Right. Or you could have somebody that's got some special technology.
Software.
Whatever.
Something, cyber.
You just
security.
Can't find it here.
Yeah, right.
And that's great. But what's been going on is that corporations like Disney and Hewlett-Packard, for example, have been bringing people in from foreign countries who have, yeah, they're skilled, but they're not uniquely skilled. And, for instance, Disney laid off 300 people and replaced them with employees from India. And
from what I understand, the Disney employees who got laid off had to train their replacements.
They were told that if you don't train your replacement, you're going to get fired right now, and you're going to get no benefits. And on top of that, we're going to blackball you. You'll never get another job in this town. And they literally told these people that. That's why they are putting together a class action suit. This is coming down the pike now. We've talked to the attorney about it. And the real problem with it is that Disney has gone out of its way to do this. I mean, hurt these people. I mean, they've got families. They've got mortgages. I mean, these are... The other thing is, why would you want to bring a worker in from another country to replace somebody on your staff who isn't qualified to the point where... I mean, if you got to train them, what's the point? That doesn't make any sense.
And don't we have... Even though, quote-unquote, the unemployment number is now 5%, we actually have a very serious unemployment problem in this country, do we not?
Well over 90 million people not working. That's right. A lot of people. I don't know about the percentages, but the percentage number is bogus.
We actually have one of the highest unemployment rates in history. The
yes.
real unemployment rate. It is rivaling that of the Great Depression.
There's that's correct.
No question about it. When you had 25-30% unemployment, that's what we got now.
Well, we don't have people lining up for soup kitchens today. You know why? Because we got food stamps.
Right.
Okay, so we've handled it in a different way, but we got just as many people in that situation, or maybe more percentage-wise. They say it's up to 30 million people, you know, who are really desperately out of work and maybe on the edge of starvation. If it weren't for food stamps.
Right. And, of course, we can turn that around by turning this economy around by getting the right person elected president. Real quick, golifa.com.
Golifa.com and text us, LIFA, to 534-534-45, and that will put you automatically on our text distribution list. No cost to you. We send out alerts at least once a week so you'll know what's going on. For example, we have a new video by Chris Hart, your glorious host tonight.
I was going to say, who's that guy?
It was recently posted. It's a great short video about LIFA and what we're doing. So text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 534-45.
And those little videos, we're doing those on a regular basis, so they're going to be updated regularly.
Yeah, we have done three so far. We'll be doing two more next week.
And they can see all three, correct?
Absolutely. They're on our website. The most recent one, of course, is at the top of the list. You can also find us on the YouTube channel for LIFA, golifa.com.
That's golifa.com, Legal Immigrants for America. You would have loved Rachel. You know Rachel Cohen.
Of course.
She's here today. She's part of my eyes and ears on the ground around here.
Uh-huh.
She made up a couple of signs, and one says, I think you'll appreciate this, Trump loves legal immigrants. After all, he married one.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Well, you know, the other thing we say is legal immigrants make America great.
Right, and that's what life is. We know that the United States of America is, quote-unquote, the melting pot. You know, at LIFA, we're not, and by the way, I'm with LIFA, we're not against legal immigration. But illegal immigration is ruining it for the legal immigrants. That's the whole point here.
Well, as you know, our founder is a legal immigrant, okay?
Yep.
We have plenty of existing immigration laws. The problem is that the current administration and the preceding ones have not enforced them. And we've got taken. And 30 years ago, Ronald Reagan made a deal with Congress. We'll amnesty 10 million people, and you guys agree to fund and build the wall and the fence, and they didn't do it.
That's right.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so no wonder people are worked up.
And he actually expressed regrets later on that he had done that because they reneged on the deal.
So that's where somebody like, you know, the Gang of Eight comes in and they say, well, you know, let them have amnesty and we'll build a wall. We say, wait a minute. I think we've been through this before and it didn't work out.
All right. Other than Trump and Cruz, are there any other candidates who would be
potentially Carson, but I think his position isn't fully articulated.
And he kind of, I don't want to, you know, be too negative on him, because he seems to be making it up as he goes along.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And
he's a bright guy, but yeah. his knowledge is in another field. He's not a guy that reads 6 or 7 newspapers a day or websites to keep up on it. I think he's catching up, but he's new to this.
And by the way, folks, he just finished speaking a few moments ago. Most of the crowd is leaving, but he is presently, I presume, since my team is not back yet, he's giving a press conference in the press room. So if they can get back before we go off the air tonight, we'll get a review about what he said. If not, we'll have that for you on our Sunday night show. And Monday, of course, is our pizza eating challenge.
I'm going to be there, and I'm bringing my sister. She's flying in from Ireland tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'll be bringing her and possibly my wife, Eliza. So we'll all be there for the fun. I can't wait.
Oh,
it'll be
yeah.
great.
It's
and they make a really good martini.
They do. By the way, you now have the nickname the Lone Ranger.
Oh.
Compliments of Mike McMahon.
Oh, that's a riot.
Yeah, Chris
that's
was great. Our Lone Ranger in our contest last time. But it is going to be a lot of fun, and you are invited. And, of course, there's no cover charge ever at Cafe Positano. And we'll have live entertainment there. Of course, we're going to have the pizza eating challenge, and we'll be calling that live during the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of good food to be eaten. And the contestants are going to start off with an 18-inch pizza. Should they get through that, then they get a 10-incher.
Oh, my.
And if they get through that, then we'll go to the slices.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I can't wait to see this one.
It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And, of course, all of you are invited. Once again, we're coming to you live from the Florida Sunshine GOP Summit at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel as the audience, the crowd is beginning to filter out. As I said, all the speakers are done now for tonight. Tomorrow, we're going to have another slate of speakers that includes Governor Huckabee, Governor Christie, Senator Rand Paul, and others. How you doing? And once again, we're coming to you live. Anyway, if you'd like to give us a call before we go off the air at 7 o'clock, we'll take that call at 407-774-8255. And thanks, Chris, for being here.
Always a pleasure. I'll see you Monday.
Yeah, okay. Great. And once again, that's golifa.com, golifa.com. And tell them where they can text that message one more time, please.
Okay. To get text updates from LIFA on immigration matters and also to see our videos that are being produced for LIFA and featuring Chris Hart, text LIFA to 53445. Just enter 53445 as the address, and the message is LIFA, LIFA. We'll see you there. Thank you.
That's right. When you see that video, you'll go, now I know why he's on radio. Thank you, Chris. Chris Kassler. We're from Orlando, Florida. We're broadcasting live on the radio right now. You want to sit down? Well, sit down right here and talk to us for a minute. I want to speak with one of the people who has come to the event here today. I don't know who he is. He just walked up to the table.
Well,
get up close to the microphone.
Sure.
First of all, tell us who you are.
Welcome to the White House.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm John Zweifel.
John Zweifel.
And I'm the guardian of the President's Hall of Fame in Claremont, Florida.
Oh, yeah, the old Citrus Tower.
At Citrus Tower.
At the Citrus Tower, yeah.
But it's at the... It's a total attraction.
Well, let me ask you, what is your feeling about the event here this afternoon?
I wish it would take months.
You're enjoying yourself, I take it.
Well, okay, I've been called recently to do the Democratic convention displays, the Republican displays, but the first convention I worked on was Eisenhower. So I never left the room. I really enjoyed. I saw a lot of showmanship.
Did you?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What are your hours for the museum out there?
It's open every day, 7 days a week, from 10 to 4.
And it's a wax museum with the presidents?
No, we got wax. We have Marilyn Monroe. We got, you know, everything. But every president has allowed me to go into the White House to document. So right now we're working on a display for the Smithsonian, which would take us all the way for the 300th birthday of the White House.
Wow.
But, you know, you can come out there. And we got about 30 different photo spots so they can have their children's picture either at the president's desk or coming on under like Chan Chan or actually looking in rooms. We got Mount Vernon out there. Everything.
You have a replica of the Oval Office. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a great museum. It's been a while, but I remember going
attraction.
Out there. It's an attraction.
Yeah.
And it's on Highway 27.
Yeah, it's been there 56 years.
Just north of Highway 50. I remember going up in that tower when I was a little kid, and there was nothing but orange groves.
You're all invited to the White House. And at Christmas time, it's totally thousands of lights, just like the actual White House.
Well, thank you for being out here. Thank you for sitting down and talking with us a few minutes.
Well, the only one thing... And why we're doing this thing is when I was growing up, everybody was patriotic. 99 9/10 people are patriotic. And that's what we're trying to instill, and that's why a place like that is out there.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sitting in. Thanks for coming to the conference today, or the summit today. Once again, we're beginning to wrap up the show as we're coming to you live from the Florida GOP Sunshine Summit. And I see a lot of smiling faces as people are exiting the rooms right now. Aubrey?
There are reports that the hostages are being killed one by one by the terrorists. But otherwise, I have no news on anything else happening there. However, this morning on Good Morning America, the president was asked about ISIS.
And
Stephanopoulos asked if ISIS was gaining in strength. And what President Obama said, I don't think they're gaining strength. What is true is that from the start, our goal has been first to contain, and we have contained them.
Oh.
They have not gained ground in Iraq and in Syria. They'll come in. They'll leave, but you don't see the systemic march by ISIL across the terrain.
And no, they're just going to Paris and doing their dirty work there now. And by the way, John Kerry said something similar today that basically ISIS was on the way out, or I forget, I'm just paraphrasing, but he characterized ISIS as being more or less on the run. I mean,
but ISIS is now bigger and more powerful than...
And they're taking the show... Al-Qaeda.
Than Al-Qaeda.
And they're taking the show on the road. And they're going to do this. They're going to do what they're doing in Paris. They're going to do it in other capitals around Europe. And guess where they're going to go after they get...
They're infiltrating as refugees.
Yep.
And the president wants to step up and import more terrorists into the United States.
Yeah. And like I said last night, Donald Trump said in a speech in Iowa that he wasn't going to reveal what he would do to ISIS, but finally he feels like he has to, and so he revealed that he would bomb the shucks
out of
ISIS. That's right. Only he used the other word last night.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Senator Lindsey Graham, when he was speaking today at the summit here, his speech was all about ISIS. It was all about Hillary Clinton's failings in dealing with the problem in Benghazi and Libya. And he, too, is adamant that we have to defeat this enemy. And he sees, I will say this for Lindsey Graham, he sees the enemy for who the enemy is, and he is not afraid to say who the enemy is.
Right.
And he recognizes that whether we like it or not, we are in a religious war. And it's not of our choosing, and certainly we don't like to think that we're at war with all of Islam, but Islam is the problem. It simply is. And if Islam doesn't clean up its own house and it leaves it to the rest of the world to do it, well, then so be it. But now that this is happening in France with the bombing, apparently that bombing of the airliner, the Russian airliner.
The Russian airliner.
ISIS is... They're developing the coalition to defeat them that Barack Obama was unable to develop because they are making enemies out of everyone. And, of course, that's what they're all about. If you are not Islam, you are on the target list. And they're going to bring the fight to you if you don't take it to them. And, of course, that's what Lindsey Graham is saying. That's what Donald Trump is saying. And... unfortunately, this situation in France is only going to, you know, evidently more people are going to die as these hostages are killed one by one. And, of course, they do this to create as much mayhem, as much terror, as much fear, and as much hatred as possible.
Right.
And so we should not, we should be more and more resolved by this, not frightened by it. And it's a very sad situation in France. And of course, we will we'll keep an eye on this, and we'll have updates on it on our Sunday show for sure. We're about to wrap up tonight's show. Once again, we've been coming to you live from the GOP Sunshine Summit at the Rosen Shingle Creek here in South Orlando. And once again, want to thank Salem Media Group for making it possible for us to be on Radio Row. And guess what? They put us right in the middle of Radio Row. And we are very privileged to be here. And we're the only ones out here broadcasting live right now. There were a few out here broadcasting live earlier, but we're the only ones here now. We'll be here all day tomorrow taking in the action. And, of course, we'll have reports and some interviews that we will record that we will have for you on Sunday night's show. And don't forget, the American Adversaries Sunday night show will be live at 5 this Sunday. And don't forget, you got some great live radio tomorrow. Of course, Aubrey Kahn is going to be hosting the Talk to the Experts show. Who's going to be on with you tomorrow, Aubrey?
I'm going to have our resident experts on water, smoke, and mold remediation, and a new gentleman who is a solar energy expert.
And once again, this is a live call-in show, so you can call in with your questions for Aubrey, who is, of course, from Foundation Home Inspections, or any of his guests. And after his show, live from 1 to 3, then you'll have the Arms Room Radio show, guys, and they'll be live from 3 to 5. And just like I tell you weekly, nowhere else will you find great live radio on the weekends than at AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. And don't forget, go to AM660TheAnswer.com and you can sign up and you can be a part of what we're doing here. And as I see people, as I said, they're leaving. I presume that Ben Carson is giving his press conference, because Carl Jackson, Kathy, and Rachel, and Lucas, the whole gang, other than Aubrey and I and Pete, are all back where the press conference room is. So we will have to give you that response, or excuse me, that report on Sunday night's show. And yes, the American Adversaries cruise is underway now as they sail out into the Atlantic Ocean on their way to the Bahamas. And in one sense, I wish I was with them, but as I told them, I spoke with them over the telephone, and they all understood and very happy that we are here. And if I was on the cruise, my mind would be here. But now that I'm here, my mind is on the cruise. But we're going to do that again. We're already planning another cruise in the spring. And Mike McBass is going to be able to make that one with us and have some of the pro NFL players on that one as well. So if, like me, you miss this one, we will have another opportunity. And don't forget our spaghetti eating challenge at Cafe Positano this Monday. We'll be there doing our remote broadcast live at 5. And the pizza eating challenge will be at about 6:30. We'll call it live on the air. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And then, of course, the fun will continue after the challenge. There'll be door prizes, raffle prizes. James Hall will be there playing his trumpet. Grant Malloy will be there plucking his banjo. And we'll be there to... Oh, hold on. Okay, Ben Carson is in press room in 5 minutes. So we wrap up here in a few seconds. I'm going to run down to the press conference room and see if I can get in a question edgewise. Thank you so much for listening to us tonight, folks. We really appreciate you being out there. You have been listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Please pray for those folks in Paris, the hostages and their families. And please pray for the United States of America. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs.